Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, that becomes a very important thing for us to realize. Living in the world that we live in, where they reject God, they don't care for him in the government, they don't want him in the schools, people don't want him in their private lives, and they're the ones who are out there, the atheists, who just reject God altogether. Now, there was this atheist who had a lawsuit, and he went into court. And the reason he had the lawsuit, he said, well, now, the Christians have this day and that day and the other day, but as atheists, we feel deprived. We don't have any day on which we can celebrate that we're atheists. And the judge said, oh, yes, you do. You have a day. It's on the calendar. It's been there for a long, long time. And the atheist said, well, I never knew that. What day is that? Well, since the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, you have your day, April 1st, April Fool's Day. That is the day for atheists. See? Now, the Sabbath day is a day in which to seek God. Seek His will, seek His word, seek His spirit. Therefore, we're not to work. Therefore, we're not to go out and do our sporting exercises. Go out and ride our bicycles for 30 miles. And there are a lot of people who think they can have prayer walks. Well, once in a while you can, but the Bible shows the way you come before God is not walking around outside, but on your knees praying to Him in a quiet, private place. I read in the New Testament that's what Jesus said when we pray. He didn't say, go take a walk and think about me. No, when you pray, it has to be active. When you're praying, you're seeking God. When you're praying on your knees, you're coming to God because He is God. He is creator. He is ruler. He's the one who's made the Sabbath day. Now, one of the most important things on the Sabbath day is to seek the will of God. Now, let's come down here. We've been in Isaiah 56, so come over here to Isaiah 55, the chapter just before it, and see what leads up to Isaiah 56. And these chapters, by the way, are companion chapters which prophesy of the new covenant, which prophesy on how to receive salvation through Sabbath keeping and the Spirit of God. You might say, well, I've never heard of that before. Well, I thought the Sabbath day was a curse. Really? We've seen God says, blessed are you if you keep the Sabbath. Now let's see why the world has this all upside down. Because they're not trying to seek the will of God. They are trying to establish their own religion, their own way, and say, by the way, God, since we're so good, you better come here and put your name on this. No, God doesn't look at it that way. God wants you to come to Him. After all, is He not God? Let's phrase it another way. Why should God come to you upon your demand? Then you have to ask the question, who is God? You or the Creator? And if God comes to you upon your demand, then you are God, and you are not. And too many people think that way. Now, they don't come right out and say, well, I'm better than God, therefore God has to come to me. No. They say, well, I've thought of this, and this is my opinion, and this is what I believe, and God's got to accept it. Does God have to accept it? Under what obligation is God required to accept it? Here, Isaiah 55, let's see what God says. Let's begin in verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Now, we're living in the last days, and I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day when God will not be found. If you are not prepared, if you are not yielded to God, when the trouble hits, bang, be it earthquake, be it flood, be it tornado, be it hurricane, you better be prepared. You had better already establish a relationship with God. Because you see, while you're whirling around in a tornado being tossed in the air to be thrown on the ground to be killed, that's not the time to say, "Oh God, yeah, you should do that." And if God spares you, then you better know that God heard you and he expects you to come to him. See, it says here, call upon him while he's near, because there are other times, like he told the prophet Jeremiah, he said, these people are so sinful, don't you come to me and pray for them, because I'm not going to hear you. So we need to understand, how are our lives? Even if someone prayed for me, would God hear without me repenting and getting on my knees? I don't think so. Let's read on. Here's what you need to do. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You must have a change of mind and a different way of life. And if you haven't been keeping the Sabbath, you better be thinking about how you're going to start doing it. Because that is the main tool and day that you can use to seek God and find his way. To repent and change your ways and find God's way. Because after all, the ultimate question becomes this. Do you want just a good life now in the flesh? Or do you want eternal life and live forever? If you want eternal life and to live forever, then you better get on God's side and you better come his way and you better listen to his word. So you need to be seeking him. That's what the Sabbath day is all about. Let's go on here. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. God will forgive. God does love you. Christ did die for you. But that means you need to respond to God. These are just not some ethereal theological statements and arguments about, you know, Christianity. These are real, live, living things and spiritual things. So how about it? Have you done that? Notice what he says. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yes, indeed. That's why the Bible, these are the words and thoughts of God. So if you had in mind, well, the Sabbath is not important, then you have missed the thought of God where he says it is important. That's where I place my presence. That's where I have sent my spirit. That's how I teach my people. That's how you have a relationship with me if you keep the Sabbath. So you need to start at home. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes out of my mouth. God's word has gone out of his mouth. You have it right in the Bible. All of it. God's message to you. God expects you that on the Sabbath day, you open his word and you study it. You ought to study it every day too. And that you learn from the word of God. You let it correct you. You let it lead you. You let it teach you combined with the Spirit of God. That's what the Sabbath day is all about. Verse 11, so shall my word be which goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall certainly do what I sent it to do. God sent his word so that on the Sabbath day you can learn of God, you can understand what sin is, you can understand what God's way is, you can understand the sinfulness of human nature, the wrongness of the way that men are living, and how to make your life right. God says you'll be blessed. He says, blessed is the man that does this, and the son of man that lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. You see, too many people, Sundaygoers, have gone to church, and the ministers have said, the law is a curse. And anyone who keeps the Sabbath is trying to justify themselves by their works. Now let's analyze that statement. If you do the things that God commands, whose work is it, yours or God's? So therefore, if it is God's works, are God's works a curse? When God says he blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy? If you say that the Sabbath is a curse, and you reject it and keep Sunday, then you accept something which is a curse and not blessed of God. So how can you find eternal life and salvation through Sunday keeping? The answer is, can't. God isn't there. Oh, but we have such a nice church. Really? All right, let's come here to Isaiah 58. Let's see some more things concerning the Sabbath day. Let's read some of the verses in the first part of the chapter, then compare them to what God says. Compare them to what God tells us concerning his Sabbath day versus the righteousness, the self-righteousness of religious people. Verse 1 says, cry aloud, do not spare. Lift up your voice like a ram's horn and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and seem eager to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and one that did not forget the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They seem eager to draw near to God. That's what Sunday keepers do. But notice verse 3, they say, why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no knowledge? Behold, God says, in the day of your fast you pursue your business and exploit all your workers. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and strike with the fist of wickedness. You cannot fast as you do this day and expect to make your voice be heard on high. No one's going to force his way upon God. Search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and there is not one single word that sanctifies the keeping of Sunday as the holy day of the week. Only the Sabbath is the day. So if you insist on Sunday, you are doing exactly what Isaiah 58 has said. And you are living in self-righteous sin. A lot of people don't like that, but the first verse says, cry aloud and spare not. Now let's come here to verse 13. Let's see the summary of the whole chapter here. What do you do if you think you are a Christian and you are a Sunday keeper? What does God expect you to do? Because Sunday is your work. Though you use the name of the Lord, though you praise him on Sunday, though you have all of these wonderful hymns, and though you have communion, and though you have the sacrifice of the Mass of the Eucharist and all of that sort of thing, though you bow down at your knees at the ringing of the bell in the cathedral, and though you put your money in the plate for the collection on Sunday morning, and everyone is religious and sanctimonious, it's not what God commanded. And you cannot find it in the Bible. So this is why church at home. Let's read it here. Here's what God says. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, not a curse, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words. Now, that's pretty inclusive, isn't it, huh? You don't talk about your own business. You don't talk about your own ways. You learn of the Word of God. You read the Word of God. Now then, on keeping the Sabbath at home, you can gather the family around, turn off the television, put away the games, put away the sports. Yes, you got to give up your college football and basketball and baseball and all of that sort of thing. Can you not do that for one day a week with God? Huh? If not, who is your God? And you can't be going out and shopping and buying on the Sabbath from sundown to sundown. That's God's day. He says, get your foot off my Sabbath. Don't trample on it. And you got to start at home. So gather your children around. If you have little children, we have color books you can download from cbcg.org and teach them the Word of God. Teach them about the things that they need to know. Teach them about the Sabbath day. Teach them about the love of God. Come together as a family. Now, if you happen to be alone, then some ways you can spend the whole day prayer, study, resting, learning of God. And I challenge you, do that for 1 month. Every Sabbath, if you have never kept the Sabbath before, you do it every Sabbath for 1 month. And see the difference in your life and see the difference in your understanding of the Word of God. But every Sabbath then, spend a lot of time studying and reading the Bible. We have many sermons you can download from cbcg.org. We have videos you can download from there. We have in-depth studies if you really want to get into the Word of God that get into the meat and the nitty-gritty and the difficult scriptures of Romans and Galatians and Hebrews and Colossians. So you know the truth about it, because you've been lied to from the pulpit your whole life. You've been told fairy tales by those who are supposed to be the ministers to serve God. And they have merchandised you, and they have taken from you, and they have deprived you of the truth, of the knowledge of the Word of God, and even the very best of them, though they can preach a good sermon and use some of the Word of God to tell you about certain things in your life, if they hopscotch right over the Sabbath and holy days of God, they're depriving you of the truth and knowledge and understanding of the Word of God that will set you free from your sins. Now notice, verse 14, if you do all of those things, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Isn't that what you want? And God will delight himself in you because you're doing the things that please him. Don't you think it's pleasing for people to not sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. Don't you think it's pleasing to God when you use his Spirit and use his Word to understand his way? Now, come here to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Let's read something here. Let's understand something. Sin condemns us. And you have a guilt feeling, which is called your heart condemns you. Now, God gave that to you so you can repent. Ask God to wash away your sins. Put him away through the blood of Jesus Christ. Draw close to God. Now notice he says here in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 19, and in this way we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, that if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. He can take away that guilt. He can take away that condemnation. That's why you need to pray on the Sabbath. That's why you need to pray every day, too, as well. See, because God's way is a way of life. And the Sabbath is that anchor of time in your life that has been blessed by God, made holy and set aside so that you can seek him and learn his will. Now notice verse 21. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. And notice verse 22. You want your prayers answered? Guilt feeling lifted from you? Yes, stop sinning. Stop lying, cheating. Stop breaking the Sabbath. Get rid of your idols. Verse 22. And whatever we may ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if you call the Sabbath a delight, is that not pleasing in God's sight? As God looks down on the earth and the seven spirits of God, which keep track of everything on the earth, are looking for those that are seeking God, how many are keeping the Sabbath? How many are really studying the Word of God to know it, to live by it, to change their lives and repent? Well, those who are, God knows. And you're doing those things that please him. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another exactly as he gave commandment to us. And that's what the whole thing is about. If you learn to love God by keeping his commandments, and if you learn to pray to God and repent of your sins and learn of his way, isn't that pleasing to God? How many are there on earth that are doing that? Now, that's not to lift you up in vanity or pride, but that's to give you joy through humility and loving God. Now, notice, verse 24, and the one who keeps his commandments is dwelling in him, and that's what God wants. He comes to dwell with you on the Sabbath day through his Spirit in your house. Now, if you want the Spirit of God living in you, then you've got to repent and be baptized and properly baptized and received the Holy Spirit of God, then he's dwelling in you. See, that's the whole purpose of the Sabbath and the holy days and God's way. See? It's not just to have a religion out here so you can say, well, I'm Christian or I'm Catholic or I'm Hindu or I'm Buddhist or I'm Muslim or all of these things. Those are all religions which are substitutes for the true way of God. See, that's why you need the Sabbath to seek God, do his way. See? Now notice, the one who keeps his commandments is dwelling in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he is dwelling in us by the Spirit which he has given to us. And that's what we need, haven't we read? That the Word of God is spiritually discerned. Yes, indeed. Now, you will be able to understand it if you approach the Word of God this way and use the Sabbath day this way. You don't have to have your own games, your own sports. Do it on another day. Seek God. Yes, you can have songs and hymns. We have on our website, CBCG, we have all the hymns from our hymnal, and we have the music and the words. You can download those. There are other songs of praise you can sing. If you have a musical instrument, you can play to God on the Sabbath. All of those things make the Sabbath a joy. But you have to count the Sabbath a delight, a joy, honorable, from God, and honor him not doing your own ways or seeking your own desires or speaking your own words. That one 24-hour period from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, you set aside and you invite God to come into your home, his Spirit to be there with you, his Word to be there to guide you. Lay all your troubles before God, because he cares for you, he loves you, he wants to help you. And he will intervene. You do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and surely keeping the Sabbath is pleasing in God's sight because he made it holy, and he will bless you in it. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home and go over these segments again so you can learn how to keep the Sabbath to grow in grace and knowledge. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.